It's raining tariffs, so why are market participants singing in the rain? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. That was the distant sound of Wall Street's opening bell 21 and a half minutes ago. Let's start with an early check of the trading day. The Dow is up a tenth of a percent, 19 points. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ composite indices are each up two tenths of a percent. Interest rates, as viewed through the prism of the yield on the 10-year note, is down at 2.85%. Just did the math. The Dow's up more than 2% this month so far, a month marked by, what should we call it, the return of mercantilism over freer trade. To account for this market psychology, let's consult Susan Schmidt, Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Morning to you, Susan.
Good morning.
So we're just getting to the second week of the big Trump tariffs story. Now, so many economists are talking about the dangers of this. It's cheering up steel workers, but it's not really rattling the market. There were a few moments over the last 2 weeks, but the trend has generally been up. What explains this calm?
I think what's interesting is that the tariff language has seemingly softened, and the market is looking at this language very carefully and understanding that there's the possibility for exemption. And thus far, it seems as if our NAFTA trading partners, our most important trading partners, are going to be getting the benefit of these exemptions. And so the market's not panicked about it right now because it doesn't yet see it as a huge disruption to trade.
But we're seeing these market participants smile through what is now, today, tougher talk about possibly levying new tariffs on China.
That's true, and I think that will be a tipping point. So the market is waiting for language on China. The Chinese economic data came out last night. It's very positive. Their economy is doing well. It will be a big question as to how the administration handles the relationship of trade with China. And the market should react to that because it will be more specific and potentially more damaging to international trade, depending on which path the administration takes.
All right. We also have retail sales figures out today. They've gone down in December, January, and now February. And I thought this is promise of this tax overhaul. How do you read this?
Well, retail sales are an interesting phenomenon right now because they're changing. People are changing how they spend. They're changing what they spend their money on. So remember that there are big factors within retail sales. That includes gasoline. And gas prices have gone up. So the expense for just driving around and getting yourself from place to place has increased. If you back out auto and gas from retail sales, the number actually looks in line with expectations and isn't going to cause the street a lot of concern today.
All right. We'll keep watching that. Susan Schmidt at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you.
Another big story today from retail. Walmart is expanding home delivery for groceries to 2 out of 5 U.S. households. 100 metro areas will get the trucks with the detergent, toilet paper, juice, apples, milk. They've been testing it in 6 cities. $9.95 flat fee, $30 minimum. Why is Walmart doing this? Because they love you and because they're terrified of Amazon. Now to the costs of historic preservation, Alabama style. Last year, amid the flare of attention to Confederate monuments, that state passed the Memorial Preservation Act, making it illegal to move or alter a monument more than 40 years old without approval of a special committee. The fine for a violation is hefty. From Troy Public Radio in Montgomery, Kyle Gassett reports that the law is already being tested.
State Senator Gerald Allen is one of the co-sponsors of the Preservation Act. He says the motivation to pass the law was to protect all monuments in Alabama, not just the Confederate ones.
Nowhere in the legislation that the word Confederacy is mentioned in the bill. Nowhere. So this covers all history here in Alabama.
But some of Allen's colleagues in the legislature, particularly members of the Black Caucus, are skeptical. So far, no one has tried to move or change a civil rights monument. But some communities have started to challenge the presence of Confederate statues. In August, the mayor of Birmingham put up a wall around the base of a Confederate monument in a city park, days after a white supremacist rally that sparked deadly violence in Charlottesville, Virginia. Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall responded by taking Birmingham to court and says he's enforcing the fine of $25,000 a day for violation of the law. Wanda Lynn Gavan is a state representative. Part of Birmingham is in her district. She says the law places an undue burden on communities.
I am going to pass a law as a legislator and tell you what you cannot do on your city property now. I have a problem with that.
Gavan has proposed a bill that would allow municipalities to opt out of the law. Across the state in Huntsville, another group is raising money to get rid of a statue of Robert E. Lee on the grounds of the courthouse. David Odom is a member of the Tennessee Valley Progressive Alliance. He says when the law was passed, the group tried to raise enough money to pay the fine to remove the statue. Odom says having a Confederate statue on public property doesn't jibe with how he sees Huntsville and its future.
There's kind of a progressive nucleus to the town, but it's surrounded by a much more conservative part of the state. And that's really true in lots of places around the South.
So far, Odom's group has only raised $1,600 through a GoFundMe campaign. In Montgomery, I'm Kyle Gassett from Marketplace.
And this won't happen until 2035, but 17 years from now, there will be more elderly people in America than there are children. For the first time in American history, more humans over 65 than people under 18, according to a new census projection. Think about that. A working younger population pays for many in the older retired population, so you can start doing the fiscal math. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.